A tweak to CMS regulation, a new FDA guidance, legislation that has wound its way through Congress and has been signed into law. These actions all can reshape and reconfigure the contours of U.S. healthcare. How it's delivered, who delivers it, where it's delivered, the cost, the price, and who foots the bill. On Managed Healthcare Executives, DC Roundtable podcast series, editors will be talking to policymakers, advocates, health officials, and lawmakers in Washington about what's new, interesting, and important in healthcare. We'll be looking for insight, updates, and through lines that will inform and give you, the listener, a better understanding of the state of play in U.S. healthcare politics and policy. Listen in, learn a lot.
Welcome to this episode of Managed Healthcare Executives DC Roundtable, where we talk to Washington, DC insiders about the politics, policy, regulations, and legislation that shapes the contours of the U.S. healthcare system. My name is Peter Werwine, and I am managing editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. Our guest today is Patrick Cooney. Patrick is a veteran of D.C. politics and healthcare politics in particular. His career goes back some 25 years to when he was a congressional aide to Congressman Dick Swett of New Hampshire. He is the president of the Federal Group, a lobbying and advocacy organization that has a number of prominent healthcare organizations as clients. They include the American Physical Therapy Association, the American Society for Clinical Laboratory Science, the Emergency Care Research Institute, or ECRI, and the Medical Device Manufacturers Association. Patrick is also a consultant to the Pharmacy Benefit Management Institute, or PBMI. PBMI is owned by MGH Life Sciences, as is MHE, and Managed Healthcare Executive is the official publication of PBMI.
Well, thanks, Patrick, for spending some time with us today to fill us in a little bit on what's going on in Washington with respect to PBMs. I don't think the world knew what a PBM was a few years ago, and now it's almost entered the vernacular. So times have changed.
No, I appreciate it. And thanks for the invitation to speak with you for a few minutes today. Yeah, you're absolutely right. PBMs have certainly been in the news over the last year, especially, I think, at the federal level. For the last several years, we've seen a lot of state activity relating to PBMs. But more and more focus is coming to Washington as well, and there's just been a ton of legislative activity. There were several folks, I think folks in general on Capitol Hill, were surprised that the PBM legislation that's been worked on this last really year and a half, in both the House and the Senate, didn't make it into what's happening this week in the House and Senate. They're working on some Medicare-related legislation, largely focused around Part B and the fee schedule. But I think a lot of people thought that PBM legislation would be included in that legislative vehicle, and that legislation also helps fund the government for fiscal year 24. So it's become sort of a big package of legislation. But late last week, negotiations were breaking down between Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate, over spread pricing in the commercial sector, the differences between the House and Senate bills, sort of the focus on Medicare and Medicaid seemed to be okay, but once the focus on commercial sector was a little bit more problematic. I think there's a number of areas that still remain to be negotiated, although I would say the bills are not dramatically different. I mean, they're all addressing spread pricing, discount, you know, pass through, and a number of other key issues, but they're not dramatically different. Democrats and Republicans, I think, are pretty united on wanting to see some changes and transparency in this area, but not only PBMs. I mean, the same is true for health insurers and hospitals, a lot of transparency legislation in those areas. So I don't think they're necessarily just ganging up on PBMs, but I think there is this focus from the White House on cost containment, particularly in the prescription drug area. A lot of that not focused at PBMs, a lot of it focused on pharma and negotiations on these initial 10 drugs. And so, you know, pharma is sort of trying to paint the focus on PBMs as well. So at the end of the day, and it's interesting to look at some of the, you know, proposals that have been put out there, the Congressional Budget Office scores the savings of some of the PBM legislation at you know, not much more than just a couple $1 billion over a 10-year period. I mean, that's not big money in Washington terms. So I'm anxious to see what the final product is. And certainly, you know, our role on behalf of PBMI is to bring that information forward. So, and to share it with members so that they can, you know, forecast for the future. So we'll keep on top of that and what the final deal may look like. But I don't think we should take it to mean that PBM legislation won't happen this year. I think March was a great opportunity. Summertime, I think we're going to be very much focused on fiscal year 25 efforts. We're just finishing up, believe it or not, fiscal year 24 efforts. So, you know, I think the focus is going to shift a little bit. And then obviously we've got the November elections and politics and primaries are coming into play. So there's not going to be a lot more bites at the apple on legislation. I think they'd like to get this done. There's either probably going to be another opportunity in the summer. And then the last opportunity would be in a lame duck session after the elections. But I've got to believe that legislators, both Democrats and Republicans, want to go home with some victories. So I think they'll come together. They can't be that far off on some PBM-related legislation.
This is in broad strokes, but there's one flavor of what this legislation would do, which involves reporting requirements, more sharing of information with presumably not the public actually, but health plans and payers, employers. There's another flavor where certain business practices would be regulated or even banned. And we've discussed spread pricing, which is to say what the PBM pays the pharmacy is less than what it gets from the payer. So I'd be interested whether you think my very rough sketch makes sense. And do you think that what obviously sort of reporting requirements are less intrusive, you know, from certain perspectives, less onerous? As you know, there are people who say the just reporting requirements aren't nearly enough here and would be a rather wimpy effort. So I'm just curious, what's your sense of which flavor might dominate?
Yeah, no, I think that's I think a great way to describe it. I mean, those are I think the two of the big elements. One is more information, more transparency, more reporting. I know that the Federal Trade Commission has been trying to look at a few of the larger PBMs, try to get a better handle on exactly how it's coordinating its business. That investigation is not progressing very quickly. I noted Senator Grassley, Chuck Grassley from Iowa, who's a member of the Finance Committee, sent sort of a scathing letter to the FTC last week, basically saying, what's the holdup? And I know FTC's sort of wrote back and said, well, we haven't collected all the documents. So that must be, quite a project. So part of it is, yeah, that collection of information that government wants to see for these federal dollars that are being expended, and I think there'll be some analysis of that over time. But I do think spread pricing has been one of the areas of sort of universal some unity between the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans. Elimination of spread pricing under Medicaid. We've seen that in legislation that's passed in the House, and we see it in the Senate finance bill. So I think we are going to see something on spread pricing. Whether it addresses commercial markets or if it's just restricted to Medicare and Medicaid, I think that will be interesting to watch. But yeah, I think that's what PBMs can expect. More requirements to report information, some restrictions on actual practices. But I think there is some level of understanding that, we can't completely micromanage this industry. I mean, there are huge benefits to be had by having PBMs do the work that they do. That's why they exist, to assist employers, to assist plans, to control costs in these areas. And with the exception of just a few legislators who sometimes say, oh, all PBMs should go away, I mean, I don't think that's really the tone on the Hill. I think the tone is more, what are we doing with these federal dollars? Are we really, is the benefit really getting to the beneficiary? And how can we have a better mousetrap, but still benefit from the great work that PBMs do? So.
And you referenced sort of the another fault line here is whether the legislation will reach into commercial plans or whether it might stick to the sectors where the federal government is a, directly involved as a payer. Is that a partisan divide where Republicans are hesitant? To more hesitant to start writing rules for the commercial sector, and the Democrats are more eager to do so. Does it cut that way?
I think it does a bit. I would hate to generalize too much on this because I do think this is an area where really Democrats and Republicans have sort of come together. There haven't been too many really detractors from the legislation. There have been a few detractors who felt like maybe the role of the FTC, maybe there was too big of a role in some of the legislation that we saw initially from like the Senate Commerce Committee, who don't like the idea of ceding power to the Federal Trade Commission. But I think in general, there's an acknowledgement that something needs to be done. So I do think we're going to see something that's broad, not just Medicare, Medicaid, probably something that affects ERISA plans as well. But more to come, more to come. Stay tuned. Yeah.
Good. Good. So smart money says some sort of legislation in 2024.
I do believe so. It would be hard to imagine this 118th Congress, which we're in, which is a 2-year period, 2023, 2024. It'd be hard to imagine them with all the work that the committees have done, almost every committee with a major jurisdiction. Hard to imagine them walking away from that with nothing on PBMs. But it is interesting. To this point, no PBM provisions have made it to the president's desk, not even on reporting requirements or transparency. And that's interesting. But I do believe that at the end of the day, whether it's the summer or part of a lame duck session, we are going to see something on the president's desk. I really think both sides, Democrats and Republicans, need that to go home to run for re-election. So.
Well, good. Well, we'll see whether you're right or not.
We'll see. We'll see if my crystal ball is correct.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the insight and the time. This will be of interest to listeners, and it will help with our reporting at Manage Healthcare Executives. So thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for tuning in to this month's episode of MHE's DC Roundtable podcast series. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit us at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.